A powerful step that you can take to save money on your electric bill is shifting when you use power in your home. Shifting your energy use away from the few on-peak hours when most power is being pulled from the grid can make a tremendous difference in the amount you pay every month, and it conserves energy for the overall health of the planet. Hello, I'm Gina Murphy, darling, and you are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Have you ever thought about the importance of when you use electricity and how that might really influence your bill? Well, by the end of this podcast, you will know quite a bit, and I will know quite a bit about our energy usage, and hopefully we'll be inspired to make some changes and save money, which is the part I like. With me to tell us how to make the magic happen is Richard Bachmeier, Manager of Pricing at Tucson Electric Power. Richard, I'm really glad you're here. I think this is what I call a complex carbohydrate, and I'm going to ask questions from the consumer point of view. Okay, there's no stumping the guest. There's just Mrs. Green or Gina asking more questions, okay?
Good.
I'm glad to be here. So let's start with the macro and then get into some specifics about time of use. I honestly think it can be confusing at time. And my vision is that by the end of this podcast, nobody will have any doubt whatsoever. The homeowners that are listening will have the knowledge they need to make informed decisions about their plans regarding time of use and how they can use those plans to their advantage. So let's start with, what is the big reason for me as a consumer to consider a time of use plan?
Well, if your lifestyle is such that you are able to keep your consumption off of what we call our on-peak periods, or reduce it during those on-peak periods, you can save some money as opposed to our flat rate residential plan. And in the summer, those on-peak periods are from 3 in the afternoon to 7 in the evening. And that is for every weekday. And weekends are all off-peak. Our on-peak periods are 3 to 7 on weekdays. And in the summer, and except for the three holidays, would be Memorial Day, Independence Day, and Labor Day. And then in the winter, those on-peak periods are 6 to 9 in the morning and 6 to 9 in the evening. And the same thing, all weekends are off-peak, and the holidays that are off-peak in the winter would be New Year's, Thanksgiving, and Christmas Day.
Okay, so I am already seeing getting some clarity around this. And it just, logic dictates that that's when people come home from work. Right?
Yes.
And they start doing this, that, and the other thing, or they crank the heat up a little bit in the winter. This winter, says she who forgot if we even had winter, that I got up in the morning, and I think maybe 4 days this winter, I put the heat on for about 5 minutes because we just didn't really have much of one. But that's when people would do it. And then at night, when it starts to get chilly and the sun goes down. Okay, so I get the whole time of use things, and it makes perfectly logical sense to have you explain to me what those are. So for the consumer, is the major advantage they'll save money? Save energy for the planet.
Yes, if you have the ability to reduce your consumption during those on-peak periods, you can save money. If your lifestyle allows you to do that, you can save money. And the differences are especially big during the summer months. We have 5 summer months. The rate differences, the differences in the summer are about 4 cents a kilowatt hour between on and off peak. In the winter, the difference is not that great because we don't have a lot of stress on our system in terms of demand, and our costs aren't as high in the winter. But in the summer, those on and off peak differences are pretty large on a kilowatt hour basis. So that sort of flows through to your bill at the end of the month. And if you can say use 20% of your usage on peak and about 80% off peak, you can actually save money as opposed to our residential basic rate.
And everybody's going to be wanting to look at that. I mean, we have 5 months of summer. Do I hear six? Let's be honest. We're heating up. So I think what we should do next is, from what I understand, you have three options. There's a basic peak demand and demand time of use. Did I get those right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go through them. Before we go through what kind of changes you would have to make.
Let's go back. I believe there are four options. The basic is just the flat rate.
Okay, so that's, scratch that.
And then there's the time of use rate.
Okay.
There's the peak demand rate, which has a flat energy charge, but there's a demand charge. And then there's the demand time of use rate, which has a demand charge and time of use energy.
So charges. If we were on TV, people would see my eyes rolling back in my head, but you're going to fix all that. So we don't want to talk about basic. So talk about peak demand is one.
The peak demand rate, it entails a demand charge in addition to your energy charges. And I want to emphasize that is not an extra charge in addition to the energy charges on like the time of use or the flat rate.
Got it.
The energy charges on your peak demand rate are about half of what they would be on the other rate. So that what we call it revenue neutral. So a customer using the same usage would probably pay about the same bill. We get all of our delivery revenue as opposed to the fuel revenue about the same amount on the peak demand rate. So, and the peak demand charge is calculated, or it's billed as the highest average 1 hour usage within those peak periods.
Got it.
And so if you have a higher 1 hour usage at say 2 p.m, that does not become your billing demand. It's during that 3 to 7 period in the summer, or those winter periods. So we only, for the residential peak demand rate, we only bill peak demand during those on-peak periods.
So you're assessing it through your magic of technology,
yes,
looking at it and measuring the demand, the usage, the actual usage,
yeah,
during those hours.
Yes.
I get that.
And it's metered on 15-minute intervals. So you take four of those 15-minute intervals and take the highest 1 hour usage,
right,
during those on-peak periods.
Okay. So then the next one is demand time of use, yes? What's that one?
Demand time of use is the same sort of demand charge setup, but the energy charges are differentiated by time of use, and so it's sort of a hybrid between the peak demand and the regular time of use rate. And
which is going to save you the most money? That's what people are going to want to investigate. Honestly, they are.
If you can, here's one thing about the peak demand rate. You're not only being billed for usage, you're being billed for how much you use within a 1 hour period, your highest 1 hour period.
Right.
It's not only, you're not only incentivized to use less during that peak period, you don't want to stack your usage. And we've got something on our website that says, don't tower your power. So you don't want to be washing and drying your clothes during the peak period at the same time that your pool pump's running and all these things. Because all that does is it goes to spike that usage in that 1 hour. So you want to spread it out as well as get it off of that
I got it. So if you're going to run your dishwasher, do that. And then if you're going to, and finish that. And then if you're going to do a load of wash, do that after you finish,
yes,
running the dishwasher. Am I following?
Yes.
I don't want to say I see light bulbs going on, but I kind of do see light bulbs going on.
And one thing that's interesting about the peak demand and the demand time of use of either of those demand rates is there are no demand charges on weekends. If you can put off all of your chores, so to speak, to the weekend, it's essentially free demand on weekends. And so,
or in the summer,
because
do it when you get
peak.
Up in the morning first thing, because
yes,
everybody wakes up at 5:30 in the summer because it's so bright and hot.
Or if you can set timers, on appliances, if you can set your dishwasher to go at night, that'll be off peak. There's something that we've looked into. Of course, a programmable thermostat is really golden when it comes to a plan like that, because you can do what we call pre-cooling the house. Crank it up from say 1 till 3, and then have it go up to a higher temperature and use your ceiling fans to keep the house cool until 7, and then you can bring the air conditioner.
That's
back
a great
to,
tip. That's a great tip, and you can program your thermostat to do that.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to learn all about the Nest in the coming year, because I talked with Brianna and Francisco at TEP about some of the videos we could do that would help consumers, and I am a consumer, and I am like your woman on the street that wants to learn about these things, and they get complicated, and then it kind of shuts me down. So did we cover all of them or not? Is there one left to cover?
All of the rate plans, yes.
We got it. Let's talk about some of the behavior changes. You talked about your dishwasher, and you could set it. I mean, we run our dishwasher when we run it, and make sure you don't run it unless it's full, people, at like 9 o'clock at night, because it's pretty quiet and who cares? And washing machine and dryers, those are two big ones.
Yes, the dryer especially.
Dryer especially.
Well, and it depends on if you have gas water heating, then the washing machine's not as, because it's the water heating is what really makes the washing machine use more energy. The dryer, of course, has got a heating element, and that's going to be a high user.
And people, let me get on my pedestal here and do a little speech. You don't need to wash your clothes in hot water, and I can prove that, and you can email me, and you can find out where I got my research. It does not make your clothes cleaner. It wears them out faster. There is absolutely impossible. It doesn't do more work, better work, get the stains out more. We don't wash our clothes in even warm water, and nobody's ever commented on the cleanliness of my clothes. That's all. My mother taught me that. She's like, you do not need hot water. And then Mrs. Green's World Journey, you do not need hot water. What about things like that might incur some expense, but that in the long run, there's a great ROI as far as I'm concerned, like a water heater that goes, you know, it's like on demand. I should be more articulate about that. Time of use or demand use, is that what you call it? Is that an option, or solar is always good?
Yes, either of those. I mean, anytime you can program the appliance to operate during certain times, then of course you have the ability to move more of it off peak. And one thing about the newer programmable thermostat, many of them you're able to control remotely through your phone, through a phone app.
Isn't that
awesome?
And so
if you're on vacation and you forget that you wanted to turn it off, or you're just away from the home, you can just get on your phone and turn it up or down.
I embrace technology. I'm telling you what. You know what else we have in this house? Because I think of the journey that the water has to take from where it is downstairs to where our hot water comes upstairs. So we have I think it's called a circulation pump, a pump that it goes on. If I try to take a shower at 5 a.m, it takes a long time for the water to be hot. So we have it set so that there's hot water starting at 6, which is usually when I take my shower. So will that help?
It's a great idea, because all the water, it also conserves water, because
And I'm Mrs. Frickin' Green, and it's like, oh my gosh, I sit there and I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel terrible. And I'm not good at taking cold showers, especially in the winter, but usually it works to go on at 6 o'clock, but it wastes so much water.
I've often wondered why they design homes with, they don't think about where the water heater is relative to where you're going to be using the hot water a lot
no
of times.
No kidding. The master bedroom uses the most. Yeah. And it's so far away from there, it's down
usually
in our
just
garage.
In the garage. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the garage. What about, like, I remember when we had a swimming pool. That matters, because when the pump runs, and if people have a spa or a jacuzzi, will that impact? Should they be set to run at off-peak hours? Is that another change you can make?
Most definitely. You don't want those things running during the peak hours. And another thing you can do just to reduce usage is variable speed. Pool pumps are great for they're much more efficient than your regular single-speed pumps. But you definitely, most of those, you have the ability to set times, and I would definitely recommend it to keep them off peak.
That's good. And then I'm always in awe of what a difference a ceiling fan makes. and I don't know how to reverse them. My husband does, thank goodness. But you want them one way in to push the heat down and another way to move it up. So I know you have to change which way the blades go. I don't have to get into that, but that is important. If you're going to do it, you should learn and use ceiling fans, correct?
I agree. They're much more efficient than central air conditioning or refrigerated air conditioning. I would definitely recommend using ceiling fans, especially if you're, like I said earlier, pre-cooling the home. The ceiling fans can make a difference to get you through that peak period where you can then turn your temperature down a little bit more.
And you can have it on and feel comfortable with the temperature set a little higher in the winter.
Exactly.
I mean, in the summer.
Exactly.
What about, this is a good one. I mean, it's coming. More and more electric vehicles, charging them. Is that going to impact? I know that they don't, from what I know, they don't like suck a lot out. It's a little bit over time because when I had an electric vehicle, it took a while to charge. So is that going to be, I think that's going to be more and more of an issue. So if you're on a time of use plan, you want to be very conscientious about when you charge your vehicle. Yes?
Yes. We expect quite a bit of electric vehicle adoption in the future. And our residential electric vehicle, we have some special electric vehicle riders and rates for people with electric vehicles, but we only we're really targeting that off-peak period for charging. So if you are on one of our either of our residential time of use, either the non-demand or the demand rate, if you have an electric vehicle at this point, you get a 5% discount on all of your off-peak usage. And so that is an incentive for you to charge off-peak or charge at night.
And it's going to become more and more and more. I have budget billing because I got a whopper when we moved into this house. Like, I was like, ugh. But we just got a new air conditioning, which is, our old one was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking we're going to realize some energy savings this summer just because of the quality and the differences that there are in air conditioners in terms of energy efficiency.
That will definitely help.
At least that is my hope. I can tell you that budget billing goes down just a little bit. What about, this is kind of a funny thing, because I looked on the TEP website when I was prepping for the show, and it says, I'm going to read it directly. It says, enjoy electricity-consuming hobbies during the off-peak hours. And that just kind of made me laugh. So does that mean if you're working in your workshop and you're using drills and that kind of thing, what exactly would be an energy-consuming hobby, in your opinion? Electricity consuming hobby.
If you're a welder, that would definitely be.
And if you're a welder and you're welding and it's 110 outside, you need to go see somebody about your mental health.
but yes, any electric power tools, things like that you might be using, it's best to use off peak. And of course, you know, my lifestyle pretty much relegates me to the weekends anyway for doing those things.
For most working people, especially like we were, two working parents with kids. Saturday morning, you get up and you start the washing machine and you start cleaning the house and, you know, doing the chores and doing the grocery shopping. I think that's typical. So it's really, if you are a conscientious consumer, that's what I would call it, not just conscious, but a conscientious consumer. This sounds very workable to me, and you demystified it for me. It's like, yeah, use your head. All the things that suck electricity off the grid, don't use them. During the peak hours, it's not hard to memorize this. I think I'm remembering it. 3 to 7 in the summer. And in the winter, in the morning, 6 to 8 or 9?
6 to 9.
6 to 9. And then at night?
6 to 9.
6 to 9. So it's like there, Mrs. Green gets smart on the podcast with Richard. Is it that simple, or did I miss pieces?
And I would probably recommend, if you're interested in trying one of these plans, I would probably... If you're a little wary of the demand concept, the demand charge concept, step into the time of use rate and see how you do on that, and then educate yourself about how the peak demand works. And if you feel like you can really keep your usage from stacking up too much during those periods, I myself am on the peak demand time of use rate and the demand time of use rate, and I probably save I've been keeping track. I probably save $30 to $40 in the summer each month.
That's a big deal.
It is. And I probably about in the winter, probably about $10.
Okay. What happens if you sign up for one of these plans and you like, I don't know whether how else to say it other than, and you break the rules. So you signed up for this plan, but you're stacking, you're doing these things. Does it just go into a basic charge? Does that make sense?
Your bill will reflect.
That you were not behaving well according to what your promise was. I sound like a mother, but it's follow the rules or pay the price, the piper.
And those are essentially price signals to the customer that those are times when the costs on the TEP system are the highest.
And this is what I'm thinking about as we're talking. Everybody should be conscious of what we just talked about, even us on budget billing, because here's my deal. It's going to be a heck of a hot summer. If you don't think so, you're nuts. It's going to be hot. It's already starting to get hot. It's really not a good idea to tax the grid too much, because raise your hand if you like a power outage when it's 112 degrees. And that's what happens. If you put too much stress on the grid, things are going to happen. I don't think people understand what it takes to deliver safe, dependable energy to the thousands of homes in Tucson. How many moving parts there are, which is why I'm proud of the partnership with TEP. It's like when people talk to me about that, I say, dude, do you use electricity? Are you happy that it worked all last summer? There's a lot of moving parts to this. And as a consumer, I want my air conditioning in the summer. I'm just saying. So it's really important.
Yes.
Another tip that has nothing to do with this, but is, I think, a great thing to throw in here. One of the things I've read about numerous times, the hardest thing, the longest thing, the most energy inefficient thing to dry are your jeans. They take a lot of energy. So when I occasionally dip my hand into the laundry basket, just putting them outside, in this summer weather, they dry in about 20 minutes.
Yes.
And in the laundry, if you put, especially if you have like 8 pair of jeans, it's 40 to 50 minutes for that load of laundry to dry, because they're so water intensive and heavy to dry. So that's a little hip tip that I think people could do to do their share. So is there any, what's the downside and the upsides for TEP to have these programs? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, we would prefer to have a lot more customers on time of use rates, and simply because that reflects the costs on the TEP system.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, believe it or not, not all generation sources or generating units
are all created equal.
They're not the same.
Okay.
And we do something in the business called economic dispatch, and so we dispatch our lowest cost operating units first. And as the load comes on the system, and of course, you can't really store electricity at this point in time feasibly or cheaply, so you've got to have that generation ready. And so as load comes on the system, we're having to fire up more and more generating units or and so forth. And so to meet that load, the least efficient units end up meeting our peak demand, which causes more emissions. They're less efficient, so they're using more fuel and hence costing more. And so these rates really do reflect how our system, the costs on our system during
those times. And what TEP, the cost to TEP for using each one of those sources, I would call them sources.
Yes.
So you have gas and you have fossil fuel and you have solar, and you have to pick from them to make sure, like I said, I'm very honest, I want to make sure I have my electricity.
And the thing about solar, we're getting a lot of solar, a lot of renewables in the summertime. I often tell people, this is photovoltaic. It's driven by light. And so it peaks, that solar output on our system peaks at about 1 or 2 in the afternoon, probably noon to 1. That is when the sun is highest in the sky. And then it starts tailing off. So by 3 to 7 o'clock.
When the demand starts.
Yeah, we still have quite a bit on the system, but it's not, a lot of people think that because it's hot, we're getting a lot of solar, and it's not, it's photovoltaic, it's not thermal.
It doesn't have anything to do with how hot it is. It has to do with the sun shining. Solar energy.
Yeah, and so that helps some. And in fact, during that period, during the mid-afternoon before our peak, we wouldn't mind moving some usage there, because as we're getting more and more solar power generation during that period, we'd like to be able to have load to use it.
And from what I see in being immersed in this all the time, with the articles I read every day and the conferences I go to, the future is bright in terms of the technology for storage. We're not there yet, but there are billions of dollars being spent on the research and the development and the testing of that, because that's the big glitch. The real glitch in the matrix, literally, is storage. And I just see people making progress. I mean, I just think it's really cool when you, if you thought about it and you had like solar panels on your car, that's happening. I mean, there's ways that are, it's going to get better, but storage is still the big hang up.
Yeah, and TEP is stepping into that. We're developing the Wilmot Energy Center with NextEra Energy, which is the parent company of I think it's Florida Power and Light, and that is going to be a solar, utility scale solar array with some storage capability, where we can actually move some of that solar that's generated, you know, early afternoon, noon to 1 o'clock, and start storing it and helping it meet our peaking needs.
So it's really close. Sounds like another podcast with TEP for Mrs. Green. I love this. I'm all over it. Okay, is there anything I missed? Anything you want to add? Because we do great show notes on the pages. All of these links will be put in. And if you have nothing to add, I love that I get the last word, but I also have one more question.
I would just really encourage people to go to our website if they're interested in these plans, because they're laid out, and the pros and cons. And the things you can do to save money on each of the different plans are laid out on our website.
And there are screenshots, and there are clear diagrams, step by step, 1, 2, 3. And my question was, which is perfect segue, we didn't even rehearse this, Richard, is if you can't do it because you're electronically or technologically or something challenged, can you call TEP and someone will help you?
Yes, I just call our customer service line, and they'll be more than willing to help you get on the right plan for your lifestyle and help you out.
I think that's really important, and I think you've got great customer service, so that's important to know. Sometimes I just need a person to explain things to me, and I'm sure it's a generational thing, because I know with my kids, they just keep poking around. They just keep poking buttons until they find it. I'm getting better at that, but mostly my kids will say, well, did you look it up on YouTube? I am not kidding. There's pretty much anything you want to find on YouTube. So go to the TEP website. That's a really good example. So I thought this was great, and I understand so much more. Don't get caught up in your head that it's really complicated, because it isn't. When you broke it down for me, that makes sense. And it's something to really encourage our consumers to do. I think it was great. Okay, now the last word from Mrs. Green. In our world, our team cares quite a bit about conserving on our electricity. Among the other numerous things we do to walk the sustainable walk, we care about reducing our carbon footprint, and we're pretty confident that if you're a listener to this show, you care too. We also believe in aligning with companies that are making progress when it comes to energy efficiency and renewables. Tucson Electric Power continues to forge ahead, you heard Richard say it, in the right direction, as evidenced by their time of use programs and many other energy efficiency programs and initiatives that we believe in and help promote. But truth be told, what good does all of that do if we, the consumers, the customers, don't do our homework, learn what the programs are, learn what's available, and then take action? Our shows from now on are always going to focus on what can you do as a consumer to take action, because that's how collectively we can make a bigger difference for this great planet of ours. I, for one, believe it's going to be a very long and very hot summer in the desert Southwest, and I want to make sure that I have air conditioning. I admit it, when things heat up to the 110 plus range, as a consumer and a homeowner and champion for Mother Earth, I believe we have shared responsibility to help TEP get through this summer and other summers after that, with each of us helping. We play a role in how much energy we take from the grid, and power outages aren't fun for anyone. I encourage you to make it a point to explore time of use options and hopefully find one that works for you. Thanks for being a part of our world. And Richard, thanks for walking us through it. I really appreciate it, and you. You've got this one.
Glad to do it. I enjoyed it.
So, May 14th, Bob Langert from Green Biz, former Chief Sustainability Officer for McDonald's and author of McDonald's Battle to Do Good, Inside Edition. And I will tell you, talk about blowing up my stereotypes. This guy is a great guy. I had no idea what McDonald's has done and continues to do in the sustainability space. It's transformative. And then our next Down to Earth shows for the next few weeks, we're going to do our greatest hits, spotlighting a number of dynamite shows over this past year, and we've had many, because a lot of us are going to be scattered to the wind to take our vacations. And as most people know, Mrs. Green and Mr. Green are expecting their third grandchild, so I'm headed to the grandchild area for the summer. So tune in, listen to shows, re-listen to them, and as again, thanks for being a part of our world. And Richard, thanks for coming.